Chapter 33. Be ready to help the military in any way.
"He's asked me to bring him a battery for his torch," whispered Molly. "Can you believe the cheek of it? Obviously, I told him we didn't have any spares, and that's not even a lie. They haven't had them in the shop for weeks. Then he asked if he could borrow mine. I said Mum and Dad would go mad if the torch was missing, so I couldn't risk it."
She'd come to wake me at 10:05. Not that I'd been asleep. You don't fall asleep when you're planning to kill a man in 3 hours' time. Those 3 hours had been the longest of my life. I don't know how I endured them. I tried to block out all thoughts by filling my head with other things. Poems we'd learnt in school, times tables, capital cities, anything to keep the terror away. Molly was sitting on the edge of my bed, whispering excitedly in the darkness. I barely heard a word she said. An ice-cold fog of dread enveloped me. What would happen to me after I'd killed him? I wouldn't be hanged, would I? Surely they didn't hang children in England. Besides, I was killing a Nazi. The English wouldn't hang a person who killed a Nazi. Would they? "Anna, are you listening?"
"No, I... What did you say?"
"Why are your teeth chattering? It's not cold." She felt my forehead. "You're freezing. Are you sick?"
I shook my head. "I'm fine."
"Well, put your jumper on. You might be cold sitting in the barn for 2 hours."
"I'm fine, honestly." I tried to clamp my jaws together to stop my teeth chattering. It didn't work.
"I was saying I think he's trying to get his transmitter working. I heard him fiddling with something after he thought I'd left the barn. Then his torch battery ran out, thank goodness, and he cursed and swore like anything. Well, it was in German, but it definitely sounded like swearing. Then he went quiet, so I think he's gone back to sleep."
I stood up. "I must go."
"Good luck. See you in 2 hours."
I felt so sick that I had to hold on to the doorframe to steady myself. When would Molly see me next? After I'd been arrested for murder? Gripping the doorframe, I forced myself to take deep breaths.
"Are you sure you're all right?" Molly sounded worried. "Do you want me to do the shift instead?"
I shook my head. "I'm fine," I said again. Then I left the room and tiptoed downstairs, leaning on the banister to let it take as much of my weight as possible, so the bare boards didn't creak beneath my feet. In the dark kitchen, I felt my way to the drawer where Auntie Rose kept the matches. I struck one, holding my breath in fear that the sound would wake somebody. All was silent. I lit the candle that stood in an enamel saucer on the cupboard. In the shadowy light, I gingerly placed a chair in front of the dresser. Standing on the chair, I swept my hand along the top of the dresser until it touched a key. Then I stepped off the chair and unlocked the tall, narrow cupboard where Uncle Bert kept his gun, loaded and ready to shoot invading Germans. I clasped the cold metal barrel, lifted the gun out and closed the cupboard door. I had never touched a gun before. It was horrible. Creak. It came from upstairs. I stood rigid, clutching the gun. My heart thumped so hard that it felt as though it might burst through my ribcage. Silence. It must have been someone turning over in their sleep. I locked the cupboard and replaced the key. Then I opened the back door. It was brighter outside than I'd expected. The night was cloudless and the sky was full of stars. I felt horribly exposed as I inched my way down the front path and out of the gate. I would creep into the barn and climb the loft steps as silently as I could. I had to shoot him before he woke up and shot me. Molly had said it was pitch black in the barn. Once I was inside, I would have to wait until my eyes adjusted to the dark. Distant voices from the army camp drifted across the fields. I knew soldiers patrolled the park perimeter at night. What would I do when the gunshot shattered the silence and the soldiers came running? Panic rose inside me. No, I mustn't think about that. I must just do what I had to do. I had no idea how to fire a gun. I should at least practice aiming it. I lifted it to shoulder height and moved my finger towards the trigger.
"Stop right there! Drop your weapon and put your hands in the air!"
I jumped and shrieked. The shotgun clattered to the ground.
"Put your hands in the air!"
From the shadows between the buildings strode a soldier pointing a gun at me. The world spun, my legs dissolved. The ground tilted beneath me. The soldier grabbed my arm.
What the blazes? You're just a kid. What the hell are you up to?
My teeth chattered. I was freezing cold. Keeping his eyes fixed on mine, the soldier picked up my rifle.
Put your hands behind your back, he ordered in a low voice. No, don't tie me up, please.
Put your hands behind your back. I put my hands behind my back, clasping them together as tightly as I could to stop them shaking.
You don't sound English, he said. Where are you from?
My stomach clenched. In a flash, I saw how this would look to the soldier, a German with a gun out in the middle of the night walking towards an army base. I felt my insides dissolving. I'm a refugee.
What nationality?
I felt so sick I could hardly speak.
I'm German, I whispered, but I'm not a Nazi. I'm a Jewish refugee. I hate Hitler. I hate him more than anybody.
With his free hand, the soldier took my wrists in a firm grip and started to lead me out of the farmyard.
Where are you taking me?
My voice was small and shaky.
To my commanding officer, he said, you are under arrest.